This is the TSN MMA Show with Aaron Bronstetter and Bazooka Joe Valtellini.
Leon Edwards wins his 6th straight fight. Peter Yan impresses in his debut. Lyoto Machida signs with Bellator, and I think he did it to avoid my special guest host for today, the co-host, who Luke Thomas and Ariel Helwani, they both launched new shows with big guests, but this one show has the guest with the best hair. He is the main event. He is the Spartan. He is Elias Theodorou. Thanks to those listening on TSN Radio in Toronto and Ottawa. And if you're listening to the podcast, please tell your friends, review the show, and subscribe to this podcast as well as Elias's podcast, the main event podcast.
Trademark included. Thank you so much for having me here.
Of course. My pleasure, man. It's always a pleasure having you here.
It's a tie. We both win.
So before I get to all things Elias, I know you've got a lot on the burner, as you always do. Let's talk about this past weekend in Singapore. Leon Edwards, 6th straight win. Cowboy manages to get the headlines, though. He comes out afterwards, said, "I could barely get out of bed. I was thinking of dropping out of the fight. I decided, you know what, I'm gonna do it." I'm sure that happens to a lot of fighters, does it not? Don't you think that a lot of fighters have those same kind of feelings on fight day?
Well, yeah, especially because the whole process of weight cutting and a camp and what you're trying to build to game day, you're taking slowly, or rather, you're putting your body through so much, it totally makes sense that someone will get a cold or a fever or whatever in between. Your immune system is going through some highs and lows, and especially with weight cut.
Yeah, I don't think Cerrone cuts a ton of weight, but he obviously does have to cut to get to 170. Almost every fighter... I don't think Adesanya cuts weight, actually. I think
you're right.
He weighed in like 183 in his first fight.
Yeah.
But it's very rare. I mean, that's, I guess, a kickboxing mentality.
Yep.
A lot of these kickboxers don't cut much weight.
No, it's a different system. And then it's really when you just add the wrestlers, then the whole term or the whole practice of sandbagging really gets in.
Yeah, because in boxing, it's not really a thing.
No. Well, they have also more weight classes, too.
Yeah.
And that's also
they got 100 weight classes. Yeah, 100
exactly.
belts. And you can't keep up with it.
No.
And I think that's kind of the fear. A lot of people think they should do 165,
yep.
175, get rid of the 170, and probably add like a 225 and a 195. But don't you think that's just too much?
Yes and no, and especially with the recent steps in regards to interims, it would be just easier ways for more champs. I think that, like, if we're going to do it,
and
we might as well.
You just don't do interim belts?
Yeah, you just don't do interim
and
belts.
And you'd have more super fights because you'd have more champions
exactly.
versus champion fights.
Yeah.
Would you be more comfortable at 195? Is that a weight class that's better suited for you? Do you like 185? Because you can
I like 185. I can make it, I actually healthy all the way through. I just know my body. I just had my 18th professional fight. And
wow, is that many already?
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy given your story. Like, I still can't believe it. I was listening to Howard Stern actually this week, and
yep.
Dennis Rodman was on, and he said, "I didn't start playing basketball until I was 19, and he became like one of the most
yep.
prolific rebounders." It just goes to show that if you have the mental strength behind you, and you have, I guess, there has to be a certain amount of IQ. He had the basketball IQ,
yep.
you have the fight IQ. There has to be a certain element to that that allows people to kind of get on the fast track to do what they're doing, because you were in university, right? Like when you first
yeah.
started training.
Yeah, I definitely was.
And you're still in your 20s, right?
Yeah, yeah. I just jumped in probably 2021.
And you're what, 29 now?
I just turned 30. So I'm 9 years now, 9 years at this point. And I got in a couple of high school fights here and there. So I think the fact that I didn't run away from it at the time, you know, whether you're the type of person that either has, you know, fight or flight, I think I kind of fought. And, once I was a fan first and foremost, and I kind of showed up. And even the first 2 years, it was more or less recreational. It's just I really liked doing it. And then I started really jumping into it after university.
Did you find, I'm in the vast minority of people that thought that the CM Punk Mike Jackson fight was interesting to watch, because you could see that it's really not that easy to, say, throw up a triangle if somebody's on top of you, just in general. And you got to see guys that are sort of, I don't really want to say in their infancy, because Mike Jackson's been doing, you know, at least from a stand-up standpoint, he's been in combat sports for like 9 years. But you got to see people that aren't at the same level as a lot of these UFC fighters. And I just thought it was interesting to watch from that perspective.
No, I definitely agree. And I didn't think he did that bad. It was, you know, he was obviously dominant majority of the fight. And, you know, it showed the idea of, you know, seeing CM Punk, you know, really trying the next 2 years and whatnot and putting his everything into it. And like you said, it's just not that easy.
If Mike Jackson fought Artem Lobov, would it be the first death in the octagon?
I don't think so.
That's a great quote, though. I like getting that quote. When he said, that was right at the end of the scrum. I asked him a question about Artem, right? Like, he was about
That's
to
hilarious.
Leave. And he goes, it would be the first death in the octagon.
And they're so, like, especially with the PR with the UFC, they're so specific on you never, like, calling it a cage or, like, never like fighting to the death.
They've never bothered me about that.
Not necessarily, no, but, like...
Oh, you mean with him? With him to say, because from a liability standpoint, you say there's going to be a death.
Yeah, exactly. And same thing with us. It's certain words that, again, they don't want projecting a certain, narrative out there.
I kind of agree with that, though. Like, I've started saying athlete instead of fighter. I find that athlete, if we want to look at mixed martial arts as a sport, they're not fighters. Like, you don't say, oh, this guy's a good, you know, you can say this guy's a good baseball player, but you know, from a standpoint, from, like, the media standpoint, calling them an athlete is the right way to refer to them. And I think that that's the way that the different athletes in the UFC should be referred to.
For sure. And I think one of the real differences, obviously this is more long-term, but it's getting the amateur aspect of it. That's where I think that's really that narrative in regards to other media, et cetera, that we'll be talking about. And we'll obviously have to come from that.
What do you mean from an amateur perspective?
In regards to, I think baseball is considered that because it's in the Olympics, and you can actually, there's a whole pedigree behind it, et cetera, et cetera. But now that, you know, obviously parents are putting their children in mixed martial arts, it's going in that direction.
It'll be an Olympic sport.
Eventually.
Like, I think I think that within the next two or three Olympic games, you'll see it.
Yeah, well, the pancration, I'm going to throw back to my people, in the
That's
ancient
right.
Olympics, was essentially...
The Olympiad.
Yeah, exactly. They... they would tie leather around their hands, and they would fight naturally naked.
They probably won't have that in the Olympics.
No.
The television deals
you
will
know,
not permit it.
Whatever. It is in my heart. But point being, it was one of the most popular ones after, obviously, discus and marathoning. And when they started the modern Olympics, the priest that put it together, I can't remember his name, thought it was too barbaric, and he just didn't let it in the modern Olympics.
Yeah, and they tried to pull wrestling out of the Olympics.
Yep.
I think they had one game without wrestling.
Yeah. Call me a conspiracy theorist. I almost think they kind of did that as a, to hype it up. It might have been...
To get the wheels back on the road.
Get the wheel back going. Because with wrestling, obviously, being entrenched in the Olympics for so long, it's one of those ones, if you compare it to other sports and how much more economics are kind of behind it, I think there's some politicking involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very possible. So with weight cutting, we were talking about weigh-ins. We heard Dana White say that they're trying to move back to the old style of weigh-ins. In a perfect world, let's say you could determine how weigh-ins happened and how people were on weight, et cetera, whether even if there were no weigh-ins or day of weigh-ins. What do you think is the optimal for the health and safety of the fighters and for the perspective of fighters that don't really want to wake up early? Is there to you an answer to this that you think is the best answer out of all of them?
Yeah, early weigh-ins.
And why?
Early weigh-ins. Because you have more time to recover.
What if they did Thursday night weigh-ins? Would that be better than early Friday morning? But let's say, you know how they do the weigh-ins, the ceremonial weigh-ins on Friday at 4? What if they did them Thursday at 4? And then you did media day the next day?
That's interesting. That's definitely interesting. I think in regards to keeping you, again, if we're having weight cut in general, and I think there's a need for weight classes, just because, again, they're there for a reason.
Yeah.
It would be
more fun without them, as
yes.
we saw in the past from Pride and Dream Days.
Yes, yes.
Super Hulk tournaments and whatnot.
They'll still have them in Japan.
Yeah.
But in the UFC, I think, and in general, I think there still should be an actual traditional weigh-in, but... It should be in the AM, especially with, you know, the removal in our sport of IVs and other ways to hydrate. And because we're taking shots to our head specifically.
That's the big thing. That's the thing that annoys me the most about it is, like, if you want to move it back to the old times, bring back IV rehydration.
Yep.
Like, it's just to me, if you have USADA there or a commission there,
yep.
get them to do it.
Yep.
Like, you have them there. You can have it done in a fashion where the, you know, somebody else can't use an IV. Like, there's testing the following day.
Yeah.
That, like, everybody
well,
gets
monitored.
Tested.
Yeah,
sanctioned. It's monitored. It's sanctioned. It's monitored. And that way, if the athletes use IVs, in their own time and use it for doping purposes, they would get caught because they're getting
Sailing.
Tested the next day for sure.
Yeah. There's the thing that comes in them is definitely saline. There's different ways to administrate it that they hide it. But there's definitely, it's just an adult conversation. I think, kind of saying that blanketly, no fighter wants this is not the answer. I think they did early weigh-ins for a reason. And everyone that I've talked to that helps in regards to the you know, the fighter safety side are totally for early weigh-ins.
The problem, though, from a promotional standpoint, and I can completely see their side, is that so many people have missed it, and so many people have missed weight, and so many of their big events have gone by the wayside. Their main events, the amount of money for promotion that goes into these events with posters and you know, the autograph posters, the shirts, and all of that, it's a big hit for them to lose big fights as a result of bad weight cuts or weight cutting issues, like the situation with Holloway recently, where he got pulled. The commission said not to, that he couldn't continue cutting weight.
But that has to do more with the commission rather than anything else.
That's true. But we've seen lots of instances in the last 2 years where fights, like the thing with Khabib, where he had to get rushed to the hospital. Like, who knows if that could have been avoided if it was in the afternoon?
He did not have a nutritionist at that point.
That's true.
He just kind of did. Again, it's just professionalism. That's all it is.
I 100% agree with you that it's just professionalism. But if they look at the statistics, the proof is in the pudding that more people are missing weight, more events are being compromised, and they want to do something about that. That's why I'm suggesting Thursday nights, but they think that Friday nights, because they've done it in the past, and they saw that there were good results in the past with that. Now, again, the big issue with that, from a promotional standpoint, is if a fight falls out at that time, now you've got 9 less hours to work with to try to find a replacement, which is a big problem.
Yep. And again, with Yoel and his team admitting that they knew that there was an extra 2 hours, so they kind of delayed it. That's admitting that they were taking advantage of the system.
Yep.
So
they were
gaming
the system.
Yeah, you're gaming the system. So, like, him not making weight and him stepping in, the fact that, again, it's his team draining out the weight cut and the commission saying that he didn't look healthy enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, they are the officials. This is a sport, and the official has the last say. Whether, again, you can obviously, you know, appeal it, et cetera, afterwards. But, you know, you're trying to game the system. And yes, there has been more misses of weight. But I would even put it more on the onus of the fighter. I would ask for, what I would say is, anyone that misses, they get 20% of the show. And if that person wins, you get the other 20% as well. So it's all 40% total.
Yeah, I'm with you. Because look at Wonderboy versus Till.
Yeah.
Because let's say Wonderboy made 150 and 150 to win. Till made, I think it was like 60 and 60.
Yeah.
Or 70 and 70. So Wonderboy takes 30% of what Till makes. Till's no longer able to get a bonus as a result of this. So when they're considering bonuses, that has to play into their mind. And so he gets 30% of $70,000, let's say. So he gets $21,000. If he would have won that fight, he would have made $300,000, and now he walks away with $180,000 or $171,000 that he is taking because he allowed his opponent to be lazy or whatever the rationale was. I know he might have had a family emergency, so I don't want to call Darren Till lazy, but at the same time, he's compromising his own athletic, you know, competitive advantage, or putting himself in a competitive disadvantage.
And longevity in general. Because, like, again, every time we step in,
heavier guy.
Yeah, every time we step into the office.
And if he doesn't take the fight, then from a promotional standpoint, his career is in big trouble.
Yep.
They could put his career in absolute peril. They have that. They have the hand to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would say the onus is on more on us, and there should be more punishments to fighters that miss weight. Mm-hmm. And I say that, again, why I love the partnership with USADA, because I have nothing to hide. So I have nothing to worry about because I'm going to make weight. Because, again, professionalism.
Yes. Do you think that it will go back to the old time?
I don't know. I think this is the first time that you've seen fighters actually collectively argue about something. So that would be something I'd be probably concerned about and not want to poke the bear in regards to any type of collecting of sorts.
Yes, that's true. This is, I guess, one of those, ideas that everybody is almost unanimously opposed to. I spoke to Dan Ige after he won his fight, and he's got a kinesiology background. And he said that even for him, he fought at, I guess, like 4 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even have 24 hours. He doesn't even have like 30 or 40 hours to rehydrate.
Yeah.
Your brain needs, I guess, 48 hours to rehydrate. And he's weighing in, whatever, at 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. And then he's fighting the next day. Or competing, rather, the next day at, he's the first fight on the card. So he doesn't have as much time to rehydrate. And he says that from a rehydration standpoint, you need 48 hours. And I spoke to somebody who's a real authority on the subject that really has some clout when it comes to this particular subject. And I pitched the Thursday night weigh into them, and they said it wouldn't be fair for certain fighters because other fighters would put on more weight and bulk up. But isn't that something that they need to work on also? Like, isn't that something that they could weigh a fighter on fight day and say they can't be this percentage over or something along those lines? I know that probably wouldn't benefit you because you are very good at cutting the weight in, putting a lot of it back on.
But even now without the... Again, that's something I've need to adjust. When they removed IVs, I kept myself lighter because I can't go that yo-yo. I can't put that weight back on. The biggest I've ever been in the cage is about 215. And, you know, it was definitely helpful in regards to that process. So they kind of ask you to be, or they ask you to be somewhere around 8% away from the weigh-in that you want when you show up on fight day. Somewhere around there makes sense. It's essentially 202, if I remember correctly. I kind of sit around about 205, 206 afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I would be fine about that.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be one of the people that would be kind of at a competitive disadvantage if it was like 15% or something along those lines. But I guess you would just walk around lighter, right? That would be the adjustment you'd make?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And just beach body all the time. And that's one of the benefits of now being ring boy ready at all times.
I saw you were you did Battlefront. Is that correct?
BTC. BTC for fight promotions. Yeah.
You do the ring boy for that. What does BTC stand for?
Burlington Training Center. It's the gym, and they also have, again, it becomes an acronym.
I got them and Battlefront confused for some reason.
Yes, fair enough.
Both Canadian-based organizations.
Yeah. So it was out here in Burlington. Great night of fights, a bunch of training partners.
You're not locked into Invicta? You're allowed to explore other avenues when it comes to being a ring boy?
I'm definitely allowed to.
Do you get Shannon Knapp? Like, she writes you a letter?
A contract, a letter of cease and desist.
They're being shut down. The gym in Burlington's no more.
Exactly. Well, I own the trademark for Ring Boy.
Yes.
So,
was I allowed to say that when I brought it up?
I gave you permission.
Okay, well,
there'll be no letter.
If you're here, I guess it was not really an infringement. It's not like I'm calling myself the Ring Boy.
No. But you really want to.
Well, if they want, like, if they're looking for hairy Jewish guys that weigh 140 pounds,
but,
you know who to call.
Well, in mixed martial arts and Ring Boy mentality, big or little, anywhere in between is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I mean, my wife didn't say that to me today, and you did, so you've got a leg up.
Hilarious. Awesome.
I don't think my wife's ever called me beautiful, so. Well, thank you, Elias. I appreciate you. You've got a good heart.
And I meant it.
So you were a ring boy for that event?
Yep. Great fights, and one of the beautiful things, obviously a fan, I got to watch in the best seats of the house. Mm-hmm. And, it was a great environment. With BTC, we're looking to bring about four or five events next
really,
year
that many?
As
wow.
well.
And these are professional fights?
Yeah, all professional fights.
Great.
Some really great fights. They actually implemented, now we're talking about it, a 165 title belt.
Oh, cool.
And they have the coolest trophies. They have pride-style trophies that they
nice.
Give out, too.
With oh, the they give the people at the end of the fight. That's great.
Yeah.
The trophies are fantastic.
Exactly. They're like six-foot-tall trophies. It's
so who
ridiculous.
Runs this thing? The gym runs it?
Yeah, the gym runs it.
And
Irene,
they take place in the gym?
Irene and Sherry from the team, Matchmaker, they have, again, it's part of the team is also fighting on it. So it's a gym out in Burlington, and mm-hmm. they have a lot of the fighters that train there and work there also fight on it as well. And there's many different great different training partners of mine, like Aaron Jeffrey. He's one to look up in mixed martial arts in Canada. He's 185er. He looks exactly like Justin Trudeau.
So you've got a gimmick there.
Yeah, 100%. I keep on telling him. We're fighting and talking terrorists.
I saw another one of your training partners got signed to a Brave CF the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember his name? Louis Manzoukas.
Louis, he got signed, yeah.
Yeah, he got signed to Brave CF. I was spacing on his name. I was hoping you were going to just fill it in.
I ran far to two.
I always remember, I think of, what's that actor's name from The League?
I also don't remember his name, but Rafi. I understand.
It's like Jason Manzoukas or something.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Well, Louis's great. He's
I know they wanted to get him in the UFC for some time, and they say that he can hang with anybody.
No, he can, and he does every single day at the gym. He's one of those guys, again, like Amen, that have been, around for quite some time, just basking in all this greatness in mixed martial arts. So, good on him signing, and, hopefully he keeps climbing and keeps kicking ass.
I noticed you've got a beard. You're not really a team player with Tri-Stash.
Yes.
Tri-Stash is, I've got to say, Mirsad Bektik.
Oh, yes, Mirsad.
I mean, he really raised the bar. He looked, that was like a perfect Freddie Mercury mustache.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to pull off.
A great fight afterwards.
Yeah, well, the fight doesn't matter. The mustache.
That's bonus.
Yeah,
that's
bonus. Unless he puts on the best fight of the night, like, you're not going to really overcome the amazing mustache, because that was like, that mustache was untouchable.
Yes, it was.
And he called out Olivier afterwards and said Olivier needs to step up his game, and he does, because that mustache is, that's tough. Are you gonna go mustache in one of your fights?
No.
No, why not?
No. I already got my own gimmick. I got the hair.
but you got to be a team player. And they're trying to get George to grow the mustache, too.
Hilarious. Well, if George does it, then I'll do it. That's
okay, you're on the
record.
If George grows the mustache, you'll grow one.
Again, peer pressure.
Yeah, all right. I like the tri-stash thing. I think it's good. The gyms usually have their signature, which is like their coach.
Yeah.
But if they have the mustache, not like Faraz, it's going to take any attention off Faraz. I mean, Faraz is Faraz. He's a legend. But if everybody grows the mustache, it'll be great. Hopefully Eamon grows the mustache. I like it. I think that Mandel had a pretty creepy one going on.
Yeah, it's always a little creepy, but he's...
Yeah. That's a guy that should be in the UFC.
Well, he's in Bellator, so hopefully he's fighting again soon.
He's a tremendous fighter.
No, great fighter. And he's
I heard he's
so
like
under
a killer in the gym.
100%. Like, mm-hmm.
Is he a guy you train with?
Yeah. He's
a bigger guy.
155.
Yeah. Oh, is he? He's only 155. I thought he was 170. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but... He has so much power behind in regards to just knowing his body, and he's so flexible as well. He can axe kick someone my height.
Really well.
Yeah.
The axe kick is not a very powerful move in MMA.
You can if you can do the splits like Van Jam. Mm-hmm. This guy can do the splits like Van Damme. So.
Really? Because I don't think there's ever been like an effective axe kick that I've seen in the UFC.
Exception to the rule would be him.
Really?
His game, too. He can probably
he can connect with you right on the forehead?
100% kick your head, more your shoulder. Mm-hmm. I guess there's just enough space where that you can break someone's shoulder. But I think with him specifically, breaking someone's guard, he can really do.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Because the axe kick is more of a move that you use to try to get in close to somebody, right?
Distance,
it's almost like a diversion.
Yeah. But you can go up with like up with a kick as well. And then you can also come back down in some capacity.
You've been throwing a lot of different kicks in your fights.
Yeah.
You've been growing your arsenal.
Yeah. Just, working on it. Part of it is more or less just trying to, be as good as you are in training on game day. And that's what I'm slowly trying to do. Kicked a lot less in my last fight. But I still added on to my strike per minute in regards to, I think I'm like the fourth active.
That's crazy. The output is crazy.
Yeah, fourth active. Fighter like behind people like Whittaker, who's the champion, and someone like Luke Rockhold, who's a former champion in his own right. Obviously there's still leaps and bounds I'm constantly growing in, but I threw less kicks in the last fight, and took on a Division I wrestler and imposed my will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Trevor's that was an interesting matchup, because as you mentioned, he's got very good wrestling, but so do you.
Yeah,
I just think that when I saw that fight was announced, I was thinking, Trevor reminds me of a worse version of Elias. Kind of. I mean, am I right? Like, is there something that he can do better than you?
No, obviously not. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was when I first heard that that's who you were fighting. That's kind of what went through my head. It's like, where's he going to beat Elias? And I couldn't really come up with anything unless he really connected with you. Because, he can hit hard.
He can crack, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
he can hit hard.
Ed Herman was a really good fight with his. He was on a 3-fight win streak going into that, right?
Yeah, for sure. And he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
But he hadn't really beaten anybody that I think was even still in the UFC, if I recall.
He was kind of like the guy that sent them on their way.
Yeah, exactly. He's kind of if you can't beat this guy, you shouldn't be in the UFC.
Not good luck.
But Trevor Smith's a good fighter.
Yeah.
And he'll get more fights. Was there anything else that stood out to you from Singapore?
Singapore.
Like Peter Yan had a
great
debut.
Yeah, great debut, obviously. I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Jake Matthews looks phenomenal, too.
Yeah, no, he's looking great. Another person that went up to 170.
Yeah. All these guys going up, like it seems like almost every example has been beneficial.
Except for Jimi Hendrix. Hendrix.
Yeah, Johnny Hendrix. And Sage Northcutt also.
Who's fighting again at 170.
Yeah, Sage is fighting again. I don't think he's won a single fight at 170.
Third time's a charm.
And he's won all of his fights at 155. But he's going back to 170 to fight Zach Otto. That'll be fun. It's hard to remember who's fighting who these days. There's so many people.
Yeah.
I always find it funny when I see, like, oh, so-and-so's fighting this person in, like, 2 weeks. I don't even remember that being announced.
Yeah.
But I like it. I love the sport.
Yeah.
You know, somebody sent me a message, or I responded to somebody on Twitter. It was actually Mike Bond, who wrote, they were looking through the UFC were sending out Pride Day tweets. And he was looking through some of the responses, which is always a bad hole to climb down on Twitter. Mm. And he said, you know, it's embarrassing to cover the sport when you see the people's responses to this kind of thing. And my response was, I'm not embarrassed. I love the sport, and I love watching these athletes compete at a high level. I think that this is an amazing sport, and I think it's great that it's such an inclusive sport. Also, we've had two openly gay fighters fight in the main event. Sure. So really, they're the ones that should be embarrassed.
Yeah,
not me.
No, and that's a testament of time, and that slowly happens. And you know, unfortunately, with Twitter and stuff like that,
that's the problem. You see the opinions of.
Everyone.
Of everyone. And there are a lot of people that have bad opinions.
And especially the anonymity of it, right?
Yeah.
Like the ability to hide behind an emoji or two, or an avatar.
And you click
rather.
On the people and they have one follower. You know,
yeah.
So it's I don't know if they're just creating an account.
Burner account just to be a dick.
Yeah. Makes me wonder about that. I don't know why people would do that. So upcoming middleweight fights. We've got Adesanya and Tavares. Last year, same fight week, you fought Brad Tavares. Now Adesanya gets a chance in the main event. And Uriah Hall versus the Eraser, Paulo Costa. Borinchinha is dead, and we've got the Eraser.
Yes.
I like that nickname much better, although Borinchinha could mean the Eraser, and I would have no idea. But what's your gauge on these fights? I mean, you fought Brad Tavares, like I said, less than a year ago. Adesanya, I'm sure you've been watching because you can learn some things from his striking. He's a very diverse and interesting striker. Is this too high of a mountain for him to climb?
No, I definitely don't think so. But I still think Tavares has so much to draw on, and especially of the mixed martial arts. We were kind of talking about it beforehand in the idea that Adesanya has, you know, all the skills, all the making of being a great mixed martial artist, but he hasn't yet put it together. And part of that could just be mat time. He just needs more mat time in it. And Brad Tavares is a tall glass of water to take on. You know what I mean? Like, he's a great athlete, and his only losses are to really great fighters.
Yeah, he's going to be way bigger than Adesanya also.
Yeah,
Tavares
that's also
be,
another
he
aspect.
He could be 205 or no problem. He's a
well,
big dude.
Well, we weighed in next to each other. He was 205.
Oh, you mean on
like the same day? Like, they weighed us in beforehand?
Yeah.
I came in a couple of pounds.
So do they weigh the fighters in on fight day?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they showed what they weighed?
Yeah.
I think they should add that to the broadcast.
Yeah.
Like, today, he weighed this.
Well, it talks more into a person's game, right? Like again, Adesanya, he wants to be quick, he wants to be fast, or whatever like that. Tavares wants to impose his will. He wants to bully him a bunch, especially getting it to the ground and, you know.
Yeah, and keeping top control.
Keeping top control.
That weight helps.
That's obviously the big hole in his game at this point, right? And it's catching him on the way. And obviously, you and I talked about it, but if Adesanya wins, I would love to take him on.
Mm-hmm.
Next,
yeah,
and
that'd be a good, be a good fight for you and for him.
Yep,
I think it would be interesting to see how that one went.
Yep, 100%.
Then you got Uriah Hall and Paulo Costa at UFC 226. This one I think is a very interesting fight because Uriah Hall, when people expect him to win, it seems like he finds ways to lose. When people don't expect him to win, like in the case of Musasi, he finds ways to win, although he lost the rematch. But with Paulo Costa, I don't think a lot of people think he's got a shot in this fight.
Yeah, no.
But Paulo Costa is still very early in his
career, and the people that he's competed against aren't necessarily the most stellar, right? They're not the top of the heat.
Depends which Johnny Hendricks you're talking about, but the one
Boom.
That he fought
yes,
was
exactly.
not the most
stellar. Yeah, exactly. And again, the only real example of someone really going up did not,
not by
out.
Choice, but he went up. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. When you by choice you move up. Yeah.
But with Uriah, I was going to touch on the mental. Again, he has all the assets to being a great fighter. He, you know, has the experience too. He's been in there under the bright lights. He has a karate background. Not necessarily karate. Is it karate?
Yeah, sort of.
Karate. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a mix. It's basically Tekken. Like the game Tekken
exactly.
is how he learned how to do
100%.
A lot of his moves,
100%.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. However you want to do it. Sure.
So again, it's cashing him in on those unexpected things. Apollo. He goes in, right? Like, he goes in for the kill. And it depends on, you know.
Which is a bad move against Uriah because he cracks.
Counter, yeah, exactly. Counter component.
He's great at countering. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a huge opportunity for that, especially with the limb. To quote Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Mm-hmm. In our sport, there's also kicked.
Yeah, yes.
So,
or kneed or elbow.
All of the above. The eight deadly limbs. But I want to see Paulo's gas tank. He's gotten emotional when he's fought. A couple people, just in regards to, like, you know, getting into it. And there's been, you know, some hints of, I can, especially with myself looking at, you know, potential opponents, mm-hmm. I can take him in deep waters. I can push him against here. I can take him down here. I can, you know, add a little bit of my own flair in regards to striking, etc.
I want to clear something up with you, actually. You breathe a lot in your fights, I've noticed. Like, towards the end of a first round, you'll be breathing.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people mistaken that for you being tired.
Yeah, no, I'm just taking it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just like constantly breathing.
Because like I've seen you go three rounds no problem, and then you know, I guess in your last fight against Trevor Smith, you're like breathing pretty heavily at the end of the first round, but I don't think it's because of, like, I think it's because you're trying to ground yourself. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. I'm trying to just, on it, just breathe.
Yeah, breathing is putting you in the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's also the ability to really use the difference between the fine motor skills and then just the other skills as well, right? Not fine motor skills and what's the word I'm looking for?
I helped you with Louis.
Yeah, you'd help me with Louis
or whatever, but I can't help you with this one.
Fine motor skills and just non-fine motor skills.
Okay.
Just the idea of the bigger movements, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just being in the moment. And I don't know. I think the proof is in the pudding in regards to of my 10 fights in the UFC. I've never been outstruck in 7 of those fights or 8 of
the fights. Same.
Yeah,
in every
and
round.
I think 8 of the 10, I've doubled the output of my opponent.
Really?
Yeah, that
doesn't surprise me. I thought you were going to say you doubled your own output as the fight went on. But yeah, your output is really something. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So, and you know, part of it is just trying to be as close as I am in training as in game day. And in that is not trying to, I really have, you know, I don't like, for instance, I would love the Pride style 10-minute rounds.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my favorite thing because that's how I could really weed out some people.
Yeah.
I really would love to, like, that's mm-hmm. where you can break someone.
Yeah. In the 8th minute of that round.
In the 8th minute of the round, yeah.
You see that they're just like, oh, I need to get out. I need to break.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we got 2 more minutes, man.
Yeah.
Just
let's
you
play.
And me.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be good. You should sign to Ryzen. Do they do that 10-minute rep?
I don't know. That could be always something to have a conversation about.
Well, speaking of signing with rival organizations, Lyoto Machida. You called him out. Now he's taken off.
He's gone.
He's gone to
Dragon
Bellator.
Dragon hunting season has been postponed.
I will say, you know, Bellator, there's a lot of things that I don't like that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
This signing included, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And I think they're probably paying him too much money. But do you see the announcement that they made today?
No.
They're doing a welterweight Grand Prix.
Oh,
so it's
going to
be
nice.
Rory, Lima, Page, Daly, Koroshkov.
That's amazing.
Fitch, I think, is in it. Like, and they're starting it on September 29th, the same night that they're doing, I think it's the 29th, the same night they're doing Rory versus Musashi in the main event. And then they've also got Vanderlei versus Rampage on that card.
Yeah, that's a fourth
draw
one.
From the old school. Yeah, and then they've got the start of the welterweight tournament. I think Daly, from the rumors that I read, it's going to be Daly and Page finally.
Yes.
And it's going to be Koroshkov-Lima rematch, which
that's
is great.
That's a great fight.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know why they're doing those 4 guys against each other at the beginning. I'm not sure who the other 4 are going to be. Probably Larkin is probably going to be one of them. So there's going to be a lot of talent, because that's their deepest division.
Yeah.
And I think that's a smart move. Like, that's I rip Bellator a lot, because I think a lot of the things they do, like, especially when they give, like, Alessio Sakara a middleweight title shot.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain things that I just think are, like, what are you doing? But this is one where, you know what? There are certain things that the UFC can't do that they can do. And they're starting to do that. They're starting to find those things where they can bring a little bit of fun and
flair,
and flair to the sport. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's a homage to what they really were in the beginning, a tournament.
Yeah.
So it's kind of going back to the roots anyways.
The Bjorn Rebny days.
Exactly.
Mexico.
Let's go. Mexico always.
Yeah.
With that being said, obviously the rumor was a potential 155 tournament.
Yeah.
So,
4-man tournament of a Clash of the Titans, so to speak. Who knows what was going to happen there.
Yeah.
But do you think George fights this year? I don't think so. I would imagine he doesn't.
I think he does whatever he wants.
Yeah, that's exactly it, though. They have to give him what he wants in order for that to happen.
Yeah. That's all it is.
George's clock is ticking, man. It's sad to see because, like, they should be bending over backwards for this guy, in my opinion.
I think they already technically have.
But he's a legitimate draw.
Mm-hmm.
He's... like, give the guy what he wants. If he wants to fight Khabib and Conor's not ready to go, or if he wants to fight the winner of that fight, and he wants to jump the line, let him jump the line.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to prove himself, but he needs to fight Dustin Poirier. He's not going to fight Dustin Poirier. What's the upside?
The hilarious part was when Dana was saying he should come back and fight the number one contender.
Yeah, fight Poirier.
But at the time, it was actually McGregor's the number one contender.
Yeah, McGregor is technically the one. Yeah, that's very true.
So
that's what I should have asked that as a follow-up. I wasn't thinking on my feet. That's too bad. That's the fight, man. I mean, Faraz said, I think Faraz is you know, being a little bit hyperbolic when he says that it would be the biggest fight for the next 20 years in MMA in terms of numbers.
Yeah, that's a little... But probably in a generation.
Not wrong. Yeah, he's probably not wrong in terms of it being the biggest fight ever. And also, for at least the next 5-10 years, I mean, think of how hard it is for them to draw those numbers.
Yeah.
And McGregor is by far their biggest draw. Mm-hmm. And then you take a guy like George, you draw him from the old crowd, the new crowd. It's one of those.
His name will resonate.
Yeah.
The amount of people, especially, here's a market right here that would buy the hell out of that.
Yeah. And McGregor would be a tough matchup for George over 5 rounds.
100%. The big question mark is the weight cut for George.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing that Dana would be concerned about. But, like, when are you ever concerned with George being a professional?
Being a professional.
Never. I mean, he did drop the 185 belt, but I don't think that had to do with professionalism. I don't think he had any intention to defend it in the first place. But, again, it's just about upside for him. He understands. And it's not a matter of him ducking anybody.
No,
he just understands his financial worth, and he understands that he needs to do what is in his best interest.
Yep.
And he's in a position to do that, whereas so few fighters are.
I can agree with that.
But 99.9% of fighters are not, and that's even a low like a low number, because it's probably he's just like 1 in 1,000.
Yeah.
Like him and McGregor, and if Ronda wanted to come back, and if Lesnar wants to come back, like. There are only a handful of people, even John Jones isn't in this conversation,
probably,
where they can call the shots.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, if John Jones comes back and Dana says, hey, we're going to have Cormier fight Lesnar, we want you to fight Gustafson, like, he'd have to do it, I guess. He's not going to sit around again.
No. Yeah, well, that's more a situation of his own doing.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
just
well,
Jones
of course,
and Jones.
Of course, of course.
And, another example would be the Diaz brothers, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's only a
I'm
few
not sure
amount.
They have that much power, though. I feel like Dana, like, kind of knows that they still need the UFC more than the UFC mm-hmm. needs them.
No,
I still don't
Nate.
Think that there's any, like, I, well, Nate,
Nate
but even Nate.
That...
I don't think that Nate is a draw. Like, is a certain draw. Not that he's not a draw. But I don't think that if you headline a UFC card... I'm not convinced that if you headline a UFC card with Nate versus Alvarez, it does more than 300,000 buys.
No, I agree, especially because he didn't capitalize on the moment.
Yeah.
Like you know, even if he just lost to McGregor, you know what I mean, and fight his next fight.
But even that, I'm still not convinced that he himself is a big enough draw that where he can call the shots.
We'll never know. Because he didn't fight.
We probably will never know.
We'll never know.
And these guys keep getting into trouble outside of the organization.
Yeah.
Like, Nate got into some fights with
in
people
Singapore.
In the crowd at a grappling match this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's at a grappling match, apparently. Got into a fight with someone in the crowd. And
oh.
I think also at a wrestling event. Like, I think he got into scuffles with crowd members at two different events or something in the last week.
Wasn't he in Singapore?
I don't think so.
Wasn't he in Singapore?
Nate?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I was reading some reports that he had some sort of a scuffle with fans at the... Either it was a wrestling match and a grappling match, or just a grappling match.
I think you might be right. I think it was some kind of, YouTube video that I was watching that kind of mixed the two, kind of keeping me up to date.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Fake news.
Yeah. But that's the story with Nate. Like, these guys need to stay out of their own way, both Diaz brothers. I mean,
what's
going on with Nick is not good either.
Mm,
very not good.
Yeah. Nope. Next question.
Yeah, let's move on. In terms of Rory and Musasi, do you think that's the most competitive fight in Bellator history?
Yeah, especially, it's a tough fight for Rory. You know, he's moving up to fight one of the most underrated fighters, low-key fighters in any division.
Yeah.
I would say Musasi is, you know, he has a cult following in his own right. Real MMA fans really know who he is, and him being him is, you know... He's a gangster, right? Like, even in his own little way. So it's a really good fight, too, nonetheless. So, but yes, competitively speaking, I think it's one of their best, especially now at this generation.
The one that had me on the fence was the second Alvarez and Chandler fight.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's
Chandler,
just about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
They, or a fight as close as it gets as a fight.
Yeah.
But I think Rory's got a great shot in this fight.
I think so, too. He's a very cerebral fighter, and if anyone can dismantle Musasi, it's him.
So Ariel Helwani joined ESPN today.
Yep.
He had his first show, the MMA Hour, with Luke Thomas started today.
Yep.
It's interesting. It's this climate is this media climate's changing a lot.
No, I like it.
I like it too. It's just more coverage. But
yep.
People got all over me because I made a tweet last week, and I really hope that this isn't Luke Thomas. Like, if Luke Thomas read it, that he doesn't think I'm being that I'm not being supportive of him, because I think Luke is tremendous. But I was saying that calling it the MMA Hour and keeping all the logo in the studio, you're not really putting Luke in a great position to succeed.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I feel like, I mean, you have the marketing background and the advertising background.
There's exceptions to the rules. Some people have, like, totally rechanged, but similar. Like, I would relate it with any type of talk show host, right? Like, there's usually some kind of change that happens that gives it their own little flair. So I understand what you're talking
about. But I feel like there's people were comparing it to The Daily Show and The Tonight Show, but this is a pretty strange circumstance. Like, he's going head-to-head with them.
Yep,
and Ariel's show is still going to be 6 or 7 hours, and Luke's show is 2 hours. So it's like, if you're going to change the format, you're going to change the host, you're going to change the look of the studio, change it all. Like, just give it a fresh start.
Give it his flair.
Give it his, make it his own thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. I'm not saying Luke is not going to succeed.
Make it great, yeah.
Luke is going to be great. And the show, from what I heard today, I heard the first hour of it, and then I wanted to tune over to Ariel's because his show was starting for the first time. It was nothing, you know. It wasn't that his show had lost me or anything, but I think that it's great for both of them. But I just think that Luke, you can give him kind of his own. If you give him his own thing and his own look, it just gives him a more of a position to succeed. But I also imagine that the time wasn't on their side for that. Like, you've got a studio built, you need to do new graphics, new this, new that.
Yep.
Tough.
Very true.
Even Ariel's show looks like it has a lot of room for improvement from a visual standpoint.
Yep.
And a lot of people were complaining that it's not on YouTube because it's harder to harder to find it, harder to consume it.
Well, that's going to be the beginning of many different situations where we're going to have to be going on to different things to get UFC content, right? Like the ESPN Plus.
I mean, in Canada, I don't think that'll be the case, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because I asked Dave Shaw. Dave Shaw was on this show, and I said, so this ESPN Plus deal, is that going to be a global digital asset? Like, are you going to be marketing that to different markets as, like, this is going to be a digital content play? And he said, no, it's going to be televised in almost every other country.
Okay.
So, because not every country has, like, you know, Combatch doesn't have their own, like, as far as I know, their
ESPN.
Own, like, their own OTT platform that's on a phone. So they have to cater to the partners in the other different markets. So,
and locals.
So Dave Shaw said, this is going to be a televised, and people were upset about this because they were saying that the pacing of the digital product is so much better, but that's just the TV, there's commercial story. But that's the way it's going to be. So I don't think that there's going to be, in a lot of other countries, there's going to be a lot of different places you have to go to. And I also don't think there's going to be a whole lot of these Fight Pass cards anymore.
True.
Like, I think they can just take these Fight Pass cards and put them on ESPN Plus.
Yep.
And if you want to watch it, it's like, it's digital. And then in the other TV market, you just put it on TV, whatever.
Yep.
It's on at 4 in the morning. It's still live content.
Yep.
I mean, we've seen, like, Olympics on at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. live. So that's, I think, how that's going to play out.
People just want more control over their content and just get access to it.
And it's also just a matter of, like, your own personal traditions and your own personal routines.
Yeah.
Like, people's Monday routines is, okay, I go to YouTube and I watch it on YouTube. And then if it's not on YouTube one day, it's a different host. What am I, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I can't go to another website. So, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Just get used to it.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Just different fire off the different, what do you call it, neuron. Get
into
it.
Yeah, just figure out another way to do it. But I saw one guy posted a picture of his, like, YouTube TV. And he's like, I click on YouTube and there's the MMA hour, but now I can't do Ariel's show because it's not on YouTube. It's like, well, I mean, that's a fair point. But of course, if you have a phone, you can find his video. You hit Chromecast or Cast or whatever.
Yep.
It's an extra step.
There's a will, there's a way.
It's an extra step. Come on. But I like it. I like seeing all of these different platforms and the way they're evolving.
100%. Platforms and also, more mixed martial arts. It's getting out to the masses. Our sport's only been around relatively a small while, and there are 25 years.
Yeah. And it's going to ESPN. Like, it doesn't
exactly
get much bigger.
That's huge. And especially if you compare it to, like, other markets that are established. We have the World Cup that's going on right now. And just think about, like, I am the most fair weather fan of soccer or football, depending on how you want to call it. I just can't get over a billion people watching one game.
Yeah.
That's what I fall in love with. And then, like, going out in a patio, et cetera, et cetera, having a beer or two and watching with all the other people that are in there.
I mean, Greece isn't in it this year, so you guys.
We're there in spirit.
Yeah. You're still doing better than Argentina is, even though you guys aren't in it.
Yeah.
So does ESPN resonate with you? Like, does the idea that you're going to be on ESPN now rather than Fox Sports?
FS1? Both are big, especially because, again, with us, it's always, I still look at TSN. Like, I look more in regard. Exactly.
Yeah.
I grew up in a local market.
Yeah.
And that's what I envision. It obviously means more to the larger market in the States.
There's no way when you were in high school you thought you'd be on SportsCenter one day, I'd imagine.
No, yeah. Yeah,
I think that's 100%. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Especially, again, before I started martial arts in any capacity, going back to our conversation.
Yeah, you're just like a student. You're doing math homework.
Yeah.
Did you play other sports?
I used to skateboard, and I played baseball for a long time.
Skateboarding's not a televised sport for the most part.
No. Well, X Games.
Yeah,
it still
X Games.
Is.
Yeah,
it's in the Olympics now.
Yeah, we are X Games, actually. Yeah.
It's in the Olympics
skateboarding
now.
Skateboarding is?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
News to me.
Yeah. I think so. I'm almost positive.
Okay, I know they added the big air, and they added, the snowboarding, they added some X Games-type events. You're looking it up?
Yes, I have to now.
You have to find out if you were right.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff on the go though. Still, you've got your movie. What's the status of that?
It's still going. Tokyo 2020. We're planning to actually skate. Yep, I think it's in there.
Skateboarding, cool.
Skateboarding leaps into Tokyo 2020.
There you go.
Yep, I knew that.
You were right.
Boom.
You got it.
But point being,
so shots to the head, no effect.
No effect. Some effect, but not all effect on my skateboarding past.
Yes.
I obviously have spoken about it before. I play an MMA fighter, huge stretch. I get injured and reinvent myself with competitive video games and fight gaming, to be specific. We have a lot of great fight champions. Someone like Justin Wong, who's a part of it.
Those are video game.
Video game, yeah. Okay. They're the top of the heat. He plays with Kenny Omega all the time.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Kenny Omega is a huge Street Fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's obviously a wrestler, but he's a huge Street Fighter fan. So whenever he's in Japan, he plays. Yeah.
We got to do like a James Lynch thing where Lynch brought. Did you see the video game interviews he was doing with
guys?
Yeah. We got to do that.
I'm down.
We should have like a tournament or something.
I'm down.
Like James and I against you and another fighter. You
Seems
and like
fair.
Uriah Hall.
Yeah.
You guys squashed your beef, right? You and Uriah.
Yeah. We trained actually together.
Oh, there you go. But with Weidman, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Going back into the movie. We have a director attached to it, Gary Haas, who's been a part of great movies as a capacity as a second director or assistant director in like movies like Juno, Interstellar, Planet
movies.
Of the Apes, X-Men, and we have a great writer who's written a great script and he's always improving it. He's kind of his call to fame, kind of getting into the industry of writing for video games was for all the Kim Kardashian apps.
Oh, yeah. So, those made a ton of money.
Tons of money.
It's unbelievable how much money those made. Those in-app purchases really get you.
Yeah, 100%.
You guys have in-movie purchases.
Yeah, it was such a successful app. She made alone $80 million a year.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
It's
but now he works for Ubisoft. And coincidentally...
They're based here.
Yeah. And coincidentally, the new Assassin's Creed looks like yours truly.
Oh, really?
Coincidentally, is
yes.
what I've been told.
What a coincidence, yes.
But we're planning on filming in October, so I'm really excited about it. I've been meeting with a lot of the really great people from the esports industry, and especially in the Canadian industry, and we're going to be part of, if all goes well, the Canadian Cup is like the biggest esports event in Canada every year, so we're going to partly film there, and we'll have like all the who's who to be a part of it and stuff, so really excited.
Can I make a cameo in the movie?
Yeah, if you want to.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Cool.
100%.
I figured I'd ask, you know.
Why not?
What could happen? You say
right
no.
here.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a jerk.
Yeah, all right. Exactly. You're the nicest guy. Just take advantage of your kindness. In October? Is this end of October?
End of October.
That Fredericton card could be an option?
Well, so that's where I'm going to have to figure out whether or not where I'm going to fight. I would love to fight in possibly Moscow, too. So that'd
cool.
be a cool opportunity. So we'll play it around. We're playing.
Are there good Russian guys that are in your weight class? 185, I can't think of a whole lot of them.
No, there's someone that, like Jocko would be something. He's 14th still. It just really depends on timing on everyone else that, you know, who's fighting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's Polish, but it's still the same region. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Really depends on who's around, like, and what their turnaround. Adesanya is obviously someone that has quick turnaround, so there's an opportunity right there.
Yeah.
He's someone that I definitely love to fight. Paul Costa is someone I would want to fight. You know, like you said, Ryan and I kind of squashed the beef. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't want to restart that again.
you've always said you're up to fighting anybody, really. Like,
for sure.
You've never turned down a fight. You've picked opponents, but you've never... turned down a fight.
No, I've never. Well, even that, it's just they give me two
names.
Options.
Yeah, you say, I'll take this guy.
It's kind of who's available. Yeah. And that was more in my earlier career than anything.
I guess you want to fight ranked guys also at this point in time. But speaking of the rankings, did you see my post from yesterday with there's a guy who's voted for both Larissa Pacheco at strawweight, bantamweight, women's bantamweight. She's 0-2 in the UFC with two first round losses and is no longer with the organization. And Adriano Martins, who's your teammate Cajun Johnson defeated and has fought outside of the UFC since. And in terms of their rankings, they've submitted to the UFC's official rankings. This person has in the deepest weight class in the UFC, lightweight. He's got them ranked number 9, Adriano Martins. So what are we going to do about this? I mean, you're ranked right now. I'm sure you enjoy being ranked and like being ranked, but there's got to be something that's got to be done about this system. It's just a joke.
Yeah, it is. It's really just a vetting process of who's being a part of it, right? Like, I would much rather have... There's other people...
Well, someone said to me, why don't you sign up?
Yeah.
And I'll give you my answer as to why I don't sign up. It's transparent. So whatever I vote
Fair enough.
Is out there. I'm a journalist. I can't I can't have managers saying, why didn't you vote for my guy?
And
it's just a perceived conflict of interest. Maybe I'm voting you higher because I like you.
Yep.
Like, I know
even you. Just a bias that you... Yeah. A subconscious bias,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Like, a subconscious... Or maybe I'm boosting up Canadians or, you know, I interviewed this guy last week. It was very nice. And
yeah.
You know.
Well, not even in a nefarious way. Just, again, subconsciously.
Exactly. Just be a subconscious bias.
You know what? Yeah.
These things should be mathematical.
Like,
we have fightmatrix.com. This is what Cajun said also. I don't want to take his idea. But Fight Matrix has like a whole mathematical system. Not that we need to take their system, but there's got to be some way that you can mathematically show who, you know, deserves to be ranked where.
Yeah.
And where fighters can't be like, well, what's going on? You know, why aren't they ranked 10th anymore? It's like, well, this algorithm has determined, it's an unbiased third-party mathematical thing that says this is how many points you have or whatever, and that's why you're ranked here. And let me explain to you why that is. And you beat an opponent who's ranked as this when at this time,
and how they beat them, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. So that kind of thing, like, because for example, Josh Emmett steps in, he fights Ricardo Lamas on short notice, misses weight, he's unranked, he beats Lamas, and now he's top 5. Like,
it
doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, just because you beat this guy doesn't mean you should be ranked ahead of all these guys. It just doesn't make, like, it doesn't add up.
No.
So, I don't know. I just think that needs to be changed. I think hopefully with this new TV deal, they come up with a new way to do this, because I just think that when you look at a lot of these people's ballots, and these are people that are updating their ballots week to week, and you still have Larissa Pacheco, who hasn't fought in 3 years in the UFC and has never won in the UFC, ranked in your women's bantamweight rankings, like, you're looking at that and being like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Okay, let's continue. Like, every week, you're looking
every
at it.
Every week.
Every week, you're looking at this. And you are in charge of Paul Felder, like, can't get a shot at the title, even though he made championship weight. Was the only guy that could have officially fought for the title that night because he's not ranked and the commission's not comfortable with it. The rankings are, like, they're done by people that aren't watching. Like,
well,
it's crazy to me.
Opening up, see, here's where the Pandora box, especially with a lot of the lawsuits that are going on at the antitrust, and that's one of their arguments in regards to how UFC has so much control. So it'd be interesting how that works out.
You mean, because they were talking about rankings in that antitrust, and that the number one guy doesn't always fight the champions. Sometimes the number, like, Dan Henderson.
But that might be a reason why they want to go here. That's what I'm saying.
Like,
that would help them out. In regards to this, explaining
why they want to have rankings,
because the ability for them to say Dan Henderson's going to fight with so and so, that is where the issue comes from. So if it kind of takes it out of their hands, then that's one more thing that they kind of win on.
Or they can say so and so made this ranking.
Taking it out of their hands, so it's less of them being controlling. So it kind of shows more of a sport.
But again, if it's an algorithm and every fighter agrees, like, okay, this makes sense, it's still out of their hands. It's still done, put through a computer.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they want to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Be better for them.
Yeah, 100%. But, like, it just gets rid of bias. Like you said, like, there's got to be an intrinsic bias. And you're also looking at guys like John Morgan and Ariel Helwani and, you know, Luke Thomas. These are people that have relationships to uphold. And if someone looks at their ballot and they're like, the manager called and been like, well, how can you put Usman at 8th? Look at who he's beat.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a random guy I'm picking. But, like, you know, that kind of thing could happen. And then you're like, your relationships get called into question.
Yeah.
So there's just so many reasons why it doesn't make sense to have people that cover the sport be in charge of the rankings. And personally, I'm surprised that any of them want to do it.
Yeah, I know, especially the latter point that you just made. It would put me in a weird situation just having a conversation. Yeah. Look, you just got a role on my movie just by asking.
Yeah, and now you look at my rankings and I don't have you ranked. What's going on, Aaron?
What?
You think Christoph Jatko is better than me? Look at what just happened. Exactly. He's lost two in a row.
Exactly.
And then I have to be like, well, Elias, you look at the level of competition.
Exactly.
And then my wheels start spinning, and then the next week, suddenly you're 10th.
Yep.
Elias called me.
Exactly.
He's pissed off. He's the 10th best middleweight in the world because we had a talk.
Number one contender.
He's convinced me that now he is just number one. Exactly. Interim champion.
He gets an interim belt.
Yeah. He's got, just in my rankings, you're now the interim champ. Congratulations.
I guess hypothetically one could do that.
Yeah. Well, not really. You can't really just name someone an interim champion, but you can. I could name you. I could rank you pound for pound. I could be like, Elias is like the number three pound for pound guy in the world. I could vote. I literally could vote. I could vote that way.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, there's like pound for pound rankings. You can vote for anybody. I'm sure that they don't disqualify anybody from those rankings. Like if my neighbor growing up was Adriano Martins, I could make him like the sixth best pound for pound guy in the world. Maybe he is that guy's neighbor. I don't know what's going on, but it makes me crazy when I go and I look. And suddenly there's people that are ranking people that aren't in the organization anymore.
Yeah.
Well, why are they even still on the list?
Yeah.
Because like Yair Rodriguez couldn't have been off of that list faster when they were having those issues with him.
Yeah.
Now suddenly he's not ranked anymore. He's back with the promotion and now he's, yeah, what happened to Yair? Maybe he's not back. Maybe they can't even vote for him yet. Who knows? But he's not ranked now. And the whole thing about Zabit is like, oh, why doesn't Yair want to fight guys that are ranked below him? Well, now he's not fighting guys ranked above him. Zabit's taking a real challenge here. He's now fighting a guy who a couple weeks ago was ranked above him, but now is ranked below him. So what does Zabit have to gain? He's going to beat an unranked guy.
That's very true.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
None of it makes any sense to me. Yeah. I look at it every week, and I pick things apart from it, and I post them online, and people are as perplexed as I am.
Yeah. No, especially it could have been more of a punishing tool.
That's my crusade. Yeah. Every journalist likes to find like a hot button issue that they can kind of own.
The ranking system.
Like Mark Raimondi he looks at all the commission stuff. Yep. And he's in tight with all the rankings. That's my baby.
I respect it.
Well, because it's crazy.
Yeah. And especially when there's been moments where it really became an issue, especially when the whole Reebok deal was first originally happening, how they were going to base it on the rankings.
The pay.
Yeah.
And fighters were like, no, I don't think so. Adriano Martins is going to make $60,000 for fighting in a rival organization.
Exactly.
Which technically, well, I mean, he's not ranked overall. He's just ranked by one guy. But even still, like, it's crazy. It's just crazy.
That's part of the reason why we love this sport.
I mean, Martins has some good wins. Adriano Martins.
It's just an awesome example.
Cajun Johnson's not ranked ahead of him on that guy's rankings. Why not? Cajun beat him.
Yeah.
It's like Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett, you know, he's fifth now. I don't know. It just drives me crazy. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. I look at it every week and I'm like, it is
a microcosm of our beautiful sport.
I just go back and I'm like, when is this guy going to take Adrian Martins off his
take?
It's been like a year.
Every Monday. It's just like,
he's been out of the organization since Cajun beat him back in, it was like September, I think, of last year. That was the Edmonton card,
almost a
right?
year. Yeah.
It's been almost a year that Adriano Martins has not fought in the UFC and has signed with an organization and lost in a rival organization. Larissa Pacheco.
That loss doesn't count, though, in the UFC.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. He maintains his ranking. Oh, man, it's wild. Well, anyhow, is there anything else going on with you? Are you going to go home and take a look at the rankings and find some other things? Put my own tinfoil hat on. Yeah, exactly.
No, next Invicta event will be Invicta 30. Obviously, great card shaping up.
Where's that?
Salt Lake City, the old stomping grounds.
Cool.
I'm really excited. Shannon and the whole team run a really good ship, and it's a great organization, a great atmosphere, and excited to be a part of it in any way, shape, or form that I can be.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of the Invicta fighters and the Ultimate Fighter, I guess. The 145-pound division is going to be featured, as well as heavyweights. I love it.
Yeah.
The two heaviest weight classes. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I love that last heavyweight season of the Ultimate Fighter. They haven't done one in a long time.
They haven't.
That was
done
the Kimbo season.
Yeah. No, I wonder what the reason was.
I don't know. Maybe there just aren't that many out there, that many
makes sense.
Heavyweight prospects, but there's got to be. You just build them. I mean, Mitrione was 0-0 when he was on the show.
That's true. But they made exceptions for pro wrestlers, anyone with some kind of pro athlete.
Like a football player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd have no problem with them putting 0-0 guys on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, they just put Greg Hardy on the Contender Series, and
there
were a lot of reasons not to put him on the show. Him being 0-0 were
not
probably
it.
Not prime among them, but... you know, it is what it is.
Could always be worse.
He just got injured in
Pro
his
ball.
Arena football career. So I don't know what kind of injury it is, but if it's serious, that's
knee
not a good look.
Is what I've been told.
Knee. Oof, that's not a good
that's
one.
Never good for someone his
especially
age.
If you're a heavyweight to injure his age.
Yeah.
You need those knees.
Yeah.
Those don't go back.
No, not yet.
Have you had any bad injuries?
No, knock on wood. Knock on wood. Especially even in the cage, the worst I've gotten, you know, adding it up to the overall number, got a couple of stitches.
You got a cut up there.
Yeah. Got bumped heads with Trevor in the last one. And been pretty good. A couple, you know, tear meniscus here and there. And obviously the wear and tear. There's definitely some, you know, numbness and some, you know, day-to-day pain that I have to go through every single day. So no injuries in regards to the knees. But, you know, different ailments that carried through from my skateboarding in regards to my, broke my wrist. And now I have arthritis in both hands. And I have, you know, some definite nerve damage that I have to constantly, you know, attend to, especially because of the idea of prehab. Because nothing in regards to the ligaments is what I'm talking about, you know, any snaps or whatever like that.
How much longer do you think you're going to do this for?
You know, as long as it's fun. I love what I'm doing. You know, in my median, I'm about 5 years away from the median age in my weight class.
It's that old.
Yeah, it's 35, 36. It might have gone down a little bit now with Bisping and Machida leaving.
Yeah.
But that's roughly where it was.
Wow. And is that in the rankings? Or that's
yeah, in the top ranking.
Oh, in the rankings. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to go down.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Or go, yeah, that age will go down because you'll see guys like Adesanya get ranked. And
yeah. And, well, we'll see. He has to win. There's still a couple things that have to happen.
He could get in there. Like, he could just, because guys are dropping off the list, right?
Yep, fair enough.
Who knows?
Yep.
There were guys that had Bisping ranked, like, third when he retired. Okay, well, I got to get off the rankings. we're going to go down the rabbit hole, and it's not going to be fun. But, and so you're hoping October? October
is what I'm hoping, or if not, potentially September in Moscow would be really fun.
But they offered you New York. Are you putting the movie? Is production going to cease for a little bit?
The movie is October. Like the Moncton card is what the issue might be. Is where the filming of the movie is what I want. I want to fight September or October. So Moncton's a little further than I wanted, and it affects my filming for my movie. So
when is Moncton?
October 27th.
Oh, I thought Moncton was early October. Okay.
Yeah.
So Moncton's a problem.
Yeah. A little further than I wanted.
That's like the day you wanted to start filming, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. That weekend.
Crazy. Well, you can start on Sunday.
Yeah, well,
as long as you don't get hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure they give you an opponent that's not gonna put much on you.
Submission artist. The rematch with Cesar Ferreira.
is he
ranked now. He's
back. Yeah, that's right. He just got put into the rankings. So I guess it won't be Adesanya. I saw, actually. Oh, but Machida will be out of the next ranking.
No, that's what it was. Yeah. With Machida out, now he's there.
Okay, cool. Interesting. Is there a guy in the middleweight division that you think is like easy money?
There's no such thing as easy money. It's always someone that's just as confident or, you know, building to be just as confident to knock your head off.
What about as a matchup? Is there anybody that you think you match up particularly well against?
I think Adesanya, obviously. Tavares, I think I won. I won the fight. It was a close fight. I think I did enough in regards to... you know, the difference, especially when you look at the control time, the output and strikes.
Just the end of the third round.
Yeah.
That's always what can get you.
Yeah, 100%. So I'd love to fight him. I think I really understand him more. I think I'm coming into my groove a little bit more. And, you know, Paulo Costa would be a great fight. I think there's definitely a lot of things I can take advantage of.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm gonna let you get out of here before rush hour happens. Oh, no, it already has.
Sort of. It already has. Feels.
Are you heading to Mississauga, or where are you going from here?
Home in Toronto.
Where you're downtown now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that won't be too bad. You'll be going
no, I'll survive.
Right? Yeah. All right, Elias, thanks for coming in. Hopefully, we'll be able to do this again soon before you go back to Montreal. When are you heading back to?
I head back after Canada today.
Okay, so they won't be bad.
But maybe when I come back
this weekend.
Yeah.
We'll try to get another one in later this week.
Yeah,
I'm actually going to have James Lynch in. We're going to be doing our UFC 226 podcast.
Nice.
He was at the that Burlington event. Wherever there's an interview, James Lynch goes.
Yep, and I was there.
Yeah,
chatted with him.
So he'll he'll be doing the show with me. I'm going to have a why is my guest name for some reason I can't remember I know who it is. But for some reason I'm having a brain fart.
Well,
he's going to be on UFC 226. He fights in the bantamweight division. Rob Font.
There you go.
I will have Rob Font on
there
the show.
There you go.
I don't know why I'm having so many brain farts during the show. This coffee hasn't kicked in yet.
Soon.
All right. Well, let's get going. We'll be back. Well, I'll be back next week with James Lynch. Thanks for stopping by, Elias.
My pleasure. And, we'll definitely make this happen again when I come right back.
Hopefully, we'll have a fight announcement soon.
Yeah,
you get an announcement right here on the show because the UFC loves when fighters do that, when they announce it before it gets put out by the organization.
Yes, I might. I might give out a hint or two at the very least and make it very obvious. Maybe that's how we do it.
It rhymes with Feaser Saheha.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll see you guys soon. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to the TSN MMA show. For all the latest UFC news, visit tsn.ca/UFC.